Hey there, everybody. Welcome to This Ocean Life Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Peterson. Today's number, episode 26, sponsored by our friends at Kaleka Undersea, an ocean lifestyle company born from thousands of hours spent roaming in and under the sea. Family-owned company, Kaleka delivers high-quality apparel representing memorable scenes and animals we all love in the ocean. Visit them at kaleka.com. Enjoy the humble pursuit. Now, in today's podcast, we speak with Chavardo Wilson, a man of the Bahamas, born and bred, who's built a rich life in the ocean, in, on, and over the ocean. Chavardo shares his experience growing up with an ocean-focused family, finding his way as boat captain and scuba diver in this great area of the world. We hear stories of sharks and shipwrecks and finding his passion for drones and capturing images of Chavardo's home waters from above with images and video. We also have a great perspective from Chavardo on changes occurring in the Bahamas that he's been seeing over his lifetime. So a great perspective on a really beautiful area. So with that, I appreciate everybody being here, supporting the podcast. So now let's hear from Chavardo Wilson. Hey, Chavardo, welcome to the show today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
it's really a pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate your time, man. Looking forward to hearing about all the neat stuff you're doing out in the Bahamas. I myself have never been there, and it's one of those places that I've always been kind of fascinated by. So, so start by telling us, where you grew up in the Bahamas, and what island, what town, and just talk about your as a kid being in the ocean and all the things you're doing.
Okay, so started off, I'm from an island called Eleuthera. It's like 110 miles long. And I grew up in a small settlement named Wimsisbite. Okay, and I went to school there, all-age school. Started off very early, going to the beaches a lot without parents' consent. So I got in trouble a lot for that. But as the years go by, started to go fishing with my dad, even though I had no interest in the ocean at all, because every time I would go on the boat with him, I would get seasick really, really bad. Really, really bad.
Really?
So everyone would be like fishing and swimming, and I would be the only one laying on the boat, sick, sick. So I try to always avoid going on the boat with him. But like one day it just came to my mind, all right, just get up, go on the boat. Even if you get seasick, you could try to defeat this. And after the days go by and the weeks, I finally don't get seasick anymore, as a kid. And I learned how to swim easily by getting thrown off the boat from my father. So that's how I learned how to swim. And I'm really thankful for that experience,
Yeah.
At just high school, I never went to college. Just finished up on high school and started studying carpentry. And then I quit that and I started to be a deckhand. That's around like 17, became a deckhand on a boat on a private island that the Carnival Cruise Lines and the Holland America Cruise Lines go to. It's called Half Moon Key.
Okay.
But on the map it's called Little San Salvador. So gotcha. I basically started my serious captain work at that little island, and everything else from there was great.
Yeah. So then growing up, was your father, like a fishing captain, or did you guys have a boat for like a family boat you go out on, or what was his involvement in fishing?
He was also like a big time free diver spear fisherman. And we had a boat also, and he's also a parasailing captain. So it pretty much run in the family to be on the ocean,
Yeah. Oh, very cool. And so when you guys would go out, would you go out for fun, or were you out, was he working, taking people out, and then you would go with him to fish?
No. Yeah. Most of the time we go out for fun.
Yeah.
I like to fish, but when he goes taking people out, I would never be there.
Yeah.
Because I would always be on a different boat working, and he would be on the parasailing boat working.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. How cool, man. And so,
yes.
So, I mean, what were you guys looking after? I mean, now there's so many different fish, different species you guys get in the Bahamas. Yeah. Was there something you guys always targeted, like sailfish or tuna or groundfish? Or what were you guys really looking for?
It all depends on the season, you know. Yeah. So most of the time, we never did like big game fishing for like mahi mahi, wahoos, or whatever. But in the season, we always go after lobsters, and if it's in season, we go for groupers and stuff like that, and snappers.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if we had an opportunity, we would get like big game fish, like mahi mahi, and sometimes tuna.
Yeah.
You know.
And so, yeah. how about the free diving spearfishing aspect? So your father was into that, and then so is that something that he taught you how to, you know, go down on a breath, shoot a fish, and bring it back up? Was that also part of you being a kid?
Yeah, he taught me most of that, but I'm still not as good as him up to this day.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Because like one time I saw he passed like over 100 feet, you know, and come back up with like two lobsters, you know.
Really?
But I never had that to go to 100. Probably I'll stay at 60 feet or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he trained most of us to do that stuff, you know. So like when we become adults, we could always fall back on it if anything doesn't work out.
Yeah, yeah, that's very cool. So fun stories or even scary stories of free diving or fishing as a kid with your dad? I mean, any, I don't know, big animal, sharks or anything like that you ran across?
Yeah, every time in the water, you run across sharks if you're spear fishing, and you just have to be careful. Especially in the Bahamas, it's a lot of sharks, different species of sharks also. So when spearfishing, you always have to have a boat nearby or a raft or something to put the fish in, because you don't want the blood to be in the water.
Right.
It's like this one time we were spearfishing and we was just like holding the fish in the water, and then this reef shark just came up and took it out of my hand, you know. and then there's a lot of stories about sharks, you know. I was just being stupid. Even though I was told not to spearfish in a certain area, there was like a group of, I don't know if you know lemon sharks.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lemon sharks. So they were mating, and me and my friends, we were spearfishing off this rock, off this island. And then like all of a sudden he came out the back and just bumped my fins, you know. Lucky he didn't bite me.
Right.
But yeah.
Now lemon sharks, they're pretty, docile and mellow by nature, right? But they were mating and they were maybe a little bit more like excited.
Yeah, I mean, they were, to me, they were kind of chilled out. They was like, because if they were gonna attack, they was gonna attack. Like, they just, I don't know how to explain, but they were, mellow is a good one for that. They were mellow.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
But
nice. So then, you guys, Was spearfishing for you just, was it really fun? Was it also a source of food to eat for like the family, or was it just, you know, a little bit of both?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, spearfishing is really big in the Bahamas. Yeah. Spearfishing on the whole is huge in the Bahamas, because one is people to feed the family, and two, it could be for you to sell on the market or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's huge. Yeah, and other islands also is much bigger in other islands than Nassau.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
So then you grew up spearfishing on boats, learning how to fish, and then at some point you mentioned that you became a deckhand and then, you know, learned to be a captain yourself. And so but you said you've gone to school for carpentry. Did you make a decision at some point to not pursue carpentry and focus on being on the water on boats?
Yeah, I still know a little bit of carpentry, but my main job is like water, boats,
and
stuff like that. Because, I mean, it's a beautiful job, you know, to be on the water every day.
Oh,
just having the salt just hitting your face, a nice breeze, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I put down carpentry just to stay on the water 24/7.
Right.
It's not during hurricanes, but it... In a nice weather, it's pretty good.
Yeah, oh, I bet, man.
Yeah.
And so you, when you moved to being a deckhand, what boats were you working on? Were they fishing boats or sailing boats or?
No, there was like, there were like tenders, like 85 foot tenders that drive guests from the cruise ship to the land.
Oh yeah, okay.
So we would take like 300 passengers off the cruise line and bring them to the small island. So I was deckhand doing that, making sure, keeping count of how many people came on board, checking engines, cleaning the bilge, and all the nasty stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later on, I would move up. Probably like 3-4 months after that, I moved up to becoming a first mate.
Yeah, got it. And then you started moving out to what? Just your own boats or running boats for fishing and charters as well?
Yeah, on that island, we never like run fishing and charters because tourism on that island was pretty slow. But here in Nassau, I do a lot of fishing and charters and diving with people off cruise ships and different customers, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. And so you're busy on Nassau, I'm sure. There's, like you said, there's so much scuba fishing, and then you have the cruise boats and tourists. So you could probably work 7 days a week if you wanted, huh?
Yeah, 7 days a week, sometime 2 months straight, and those. So you're just busy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then today, so do you captain on, like, do you have your own boat, or do you captain on somebody else's, boat?
No, I captain for someone else's boat. Yep. I don't have my own boat as yet, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. It's
like we fly all the time, so sometimes we're not here. But I work for a company called Start Cove Dive Bahamas.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, so basically we just take people to do snorkeling, diving, shark diving, and sometimes even a fishing charter.
You know? Yeah, gotcha. So do you ever have any, have you had any, stories of, you get a tourist off a boat who might not be real comfortable in the water and having some issues or some animals that are maybe a little aggressive, any stories like that?
Yeah, like all the time, we have people that come, and you might believe I'm crazy, but people that come and they want to go snorkeling, right?
Yeah.
But they don't know how to swim.
Oh, what?
So we have that issue most of the times. People that want to go snorkeling and don't know how to swim. And wow. most times you have people that want to get into water, but they are afraid of the fish, and they don't want the fish to touch them. They don't want to be in the water with fish, that sort of thing. And then you have the next person that will be like, "Oh, I want to get in the water, but I don't want to lose my leg to a shark." Yeah. You know, so it's all sorts of crazy stuff that goes on.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so, would you just kind of help them? I mean, do you put them on a life vest on them? Do you get in the water with them to help them be more relaxed, or how do you help them with these fears? I guess.
Yeah. Like especially like the ones that don't know how to swim. So we have this 100% proof life jacket. So just let them get into water real quick with it. Let them hold on to a raft with a line attached to the rope to the boat. So in any event they panic, you could always pull them back to the boat if you're not quick enough to swim them down. But after they put on the vest and a mask, they'll be like more comfortable in the water, and they will start to like move around by themselves. And before you know it, they are swimming, you know?
Yeah, got it. Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, it's just a mind thing.
Yeah, no kidding. And you see that? Like, people are kind of freaked out at first, but then once they realize they're safe,
really freaked out.
Then they really enjoy it. That's kind of cool. You're able to help people and introduce them to the water that. That's cool.
Yeah, because most people that come, they expect, and like when you go on the snorkel side, that their foot could touch the bottom of the ocean. And when you tell them no, they like kind of panic and freak out,
right yeah. That's cool. So then you've been running a bunch of boats, and then you've also you grew up free diving. The water is really natural to you, and then the last, I think you mentioned in about 2014 or so, you started scuba diving, and that opened a new world up to you. So talk about that. How did you get introduced into scuba?
Yeah, so I got introduced to scuba because I had no interest in scuba diving at all, just like free diving. So I got introduced by this new job I was working with Stuart, obviously. I saw it like everyone scuba diving, so I was like, okay, I want to try that. And then the first time I went down, it was like, wow, you don't have to come up and down, up and down. You can stay down for like 35 minutes or whatever.
Right.
You know, and it'll change the way of thinking about sharks and the way you think about the ocean, and And, you know, you just want to protect it. You know, you don't want to damage it by
right.
littering and plastic or whatever. It just opened up a new mindset, you know.
Yeah.
So that changed the way of me thinking about the ocean and scuba diving. Scuba diving changed the way I think about that.
That's really cool. So you, I mean, I can imagine you grew up in this area. You've been free diving these areas for your whole life, and you know right. you go down for a minute and a half or whatever it might be, and then you got to come back up. You can never sit there and really look and absorb and see it all happen, and then
you
suddenly.
Yeah, because with free diving, you can't like take it easy. It's always like a rush. But with scuba diving, you can take it easy and see the smaller stuff, and you can see everything around you. You get to really enjoy the underwater life, you know.
Yeah, and that's neat. That must have provided such a different perspective on sort of the ocean environment that you're so used to. Yeah, how cool. And so, and then day to day now. You take people scuba diving, that's one on the boat, and then do you get in the water with them and help them be safe, and do you instruct or anything?
No, I'm not a dive instructor. Nope. I'm just an advanced diver and a boat captain.
Yeah.
So we always on the boat, we have a certified instructor that takes the customers diving. So I'll be on the boat bubble watching, and I'll make it sure that everyone stays down, and like, if they happens to come up and start to panic, I'll be the guy to jump in the water to rescue them.
Got it.
You know? Yeah, so I'm kind of like a captain bubble watcher. But I don't lead dives, but I can dive, but I don't lead them at all.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
So where's your favorite place to dive? If you were going to go dive today, where would you go? Do you have some spots that are just the best for you?
In the Bahamas, there's a lot of dive spots.
Yeah.
You know, if I just call one particular name, I feel like I'd be cheating on the next name.
Right.
But it's a lot of dive spots. My favorite here in Nassau is a place called Southwest Reef.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a nice shallow site. You know, it's far away from land. It's like 6 miles out on the southwest. And it's far away from humans. So it's well protected, and it looks really nice. Elkhorn reefs
man.
And fish all around, you know. There's real colors and fire coral, you know, full colors. I really like that spot. And it's nice and shallow. You could snorkel it, you know. We take people there snorkeling also, so you could snorkel it if you don't know how to scuba dive.
Oh, cool. And then and there's wrecks. I mean, do you prefer reefs or wrecks, or you'll do either? Like, what's your favorite?
I'll do either or.
Yeah.
Wrecks are cool too, you know. I don't penetrate wrecks at all. I just swim on the outside.
Yeah.
But I like wrecks too, like, you know. But especially like the wrecks that we have, some of them, the sharks just hang around. So that's cool to watch them and see too, you know.
Yeah. Now, have you ever yourself found a wreck that you didn't know was there, just boating or looking on the sounder or what have you?
Maybe, yes, I found one that the Bahamas are Royal Defense Force.
Yeah.
That's like the military of the Bahamas. So they caught this these illegal immigrants, and they sunk the boat, but no one know where they sunk it, right?
Uh-huh.
So I was driving out one day, and I saw this image. It was flat calm, and you could see the colors and everything still on the boat.
No kidding. Oh,
so that's like probably like, I consider that's the first wreck, but I haven't have time to dive it as yet.
Yeah,
or do
anything
around it.
Right.
Yeah, it's a sailing vessel.
Got it. So, in addition to scuba, now you've also, so what's really cool about what you're doing, I find it really interesting, is, you know, you spend a lot of time underwater throughout your life, and now you spend kind of time high above water. flying your drone, taking some really awesome videos and photos.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been looking at it on Instagram. There's some really cool stuff. And so, so how did you get hooked up into that? How did you first get a drone and decide that was something you wanted to do as well?
So it all started, my wife, she's an underwater photographer, a land photographer, right? So she motivated me. She's like, oh, this is pretty cool, you know, we should get a drone. And I'm pretty sure you could do good with a drone because you play video games. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. So like after flying it and like seeing what it could do and all the good moves and putting editing the videos and the pictures, I think I'm about okay. But yeah, I like flying the drone. But she motivated me. Pia, my wife, she motivated me to be a drone pilot.
How fun. And so you will basically go fly the drone for people who are, you know, will basically, you know, hire you to take videos or photos of their time in the islands.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. It's like most people, like if they have like a fishing vessel, they want to sell and they want to advertise it, or they want a commercial of their boat so they can get more business, and just they'll hire me and I will fly for them and do a lot of video of the whole day with them out in the Exuma Keys. And it's wonderful, you know. That's like mainly it's commercial and like ladies for Instagram stuff like that.
Yeah. How fun. That's so cool. Yeah. So how about when you first started learning how to you got a drone, I imagine you started learning how to fly it. Did you have any like scares where you dunked it in the ocean or anything like that?
No.
You're careful.
Yeah. Well, before I started flying in the ocean, I did like a lot of practice.
Yeah.
On the land.
Right.
But then when I started flying on the ocean, it was like the first time I flew on the ocean was a little scary, but because, you know, you don't want to crash the drone or you don't want a bird to hit the drone and it collapse over the ocean.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But the first time I started flying on the ocean, it was a little scary. But once I got the hang of it, then it's like a walk in the park.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like playing that video game, as you just mentioned. You know what the drone's going to do.
Right.
And what to expect. So have you ever seen those ones that are, they're basically amphibious? They're big orange ones, and you could land them on the water and everything. Have you ever, what do you think about those versus the ones that are just, you know, not aquatic, I guess?
I saw those ones, but I really didn't pay that much attention of it. I saw like the guy was testing that he threw it in the water and stuff like that. But the thing about that is, I don't know if I don't know if it's going to give you like that footage, that quality of the video that the DJI Mavic Pro is going to give you. And I don't know. I never tried it, so I'd have to look into that to give you more information about that one.
Yeah, I was curious because I've been looking at, like, you know, of all the other things I have.
That one probably would be good for, like if you're not experienced and you're going to be flying over water or something like that.
Right.
I think that's going to be come in handy.
Yeah, yeah. And so you'll go out. So when you go take some drone footage for somebody, you'll go out on the boat, and then basically, will you manually fly the drone, or do you, like, program in where you want it to go and then it comes back to you automatically? How do you usually fly those?
Okay, so like on the boat is very different from land, because once you take off is a home point, and it's like where the drone is going to automatically come back to. And keep in mind that the boat is moving.
Oh yeah.
So if the boat is moving and you're flying, that's all you have to be careful about the battery level, because if the battery level get low, the drone will go back to the home point where it taked off from, and it's going to hover there until the battery run out, and it's going to drop in the ocean.
You're right.
Yeah. So
that's not good.
When I'm flying over the ocean, before I reach the like 30% battery, I'll have the guy on the boat slow down, and I'll just bring the drone in.
Ah, cool.
Most time I fly manually. I'll hide inside of a boat. If it's like a yacht, I'll hide inside of the yacht and fly from the inside so that I wouldn't be in the customer's video, you know?
Right, right. So have you ever, so let's say you took a customer out, you're taking, you know, a video or a photos for them from above, and then afterwards, you know, you're on the boat looking out, you can only see so much of the ocean, but the drone's higher, it sees more. Have you ever like brought the footage and you're looking at it like on your computer, and all of a sudden you realize like when they're out there swimming or something, there was some animal, a shark or something else?
Yes, that happened to me before, man.
Really?
Yeah. I was out in Exuma Keys with some customers, and while they were swimming, probably like 5 feet away from them, there was a nurse shark. Clear as day. On the drone, you could see it. And when they came back to the boat, you know, I was like, so you guys didn't see the nurse shark? And it was like, No shark was there. You're not telling the truth, blah, blah, blah. So I uploaded the video on the phone, and I showed them, and it's like, wow.
No way.
It's right next to them. They didn't see it at all. Yeah.
How cool.
That happened to me before.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
so
only
cool.
Once it happened.
Right,
yeah.
Right. about the Exumas, a friend of mine, she goes out to the Bahamas, and she has some cool pictures of her with those pigs out there. I've always been curious. Do you know the story behind those pigs in the Exumas? What, how they got there, and what they do there?
Okay,
kind of off topic.
So I know a rumor has it they were always there, yeah. Way before a lot of people know they was there. Because I know a couple of friends who used to go there all the time before, like the pigs was really popular. So I think there was they were always there migrating in that one area, you know. Yeah, I think that's the story. I don't know the full story, but what I heard that they were always there.
Yeah. And then how many are, I mean, is it just in the Exuma, is it a set of keys or a set of small islands? Is that right?
It's a set of keys. I can't tell you how many of that it is.
Yeah.
It's a chain. It's a,
right.
It's a long set of keys. And every key is like, you have one key that Pablo Escobar playing has crashed there on the Norman's key.
Right.
And then other keys you could find like different stuff, like sandbars people go to drink and have fun and different restaurants. It's nice over there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay. And then there's just tons of pigs everywhere and all the keys or just one of them?
No, just that one key. It's named Big Majors key.
Okay.
It's just there. It's like some comes out and swim towards the boat.
Yeah.
While others stay on land. So there's no telling how many pigs are on that island.
Yeah.
I think probably like over 100 or so.
Really?
But like you pull up in the boat and they automatically start swimming out.
Right,
to you.
Right. Because they get food from people.
Right. They get food from people, you know. They come out to the boat. And if you don't, if you're not careful and you turn your back on a big one, she will bite you.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So after having spent your life in the Bahamas, have you noticed a change, you know, in, I don't know, the abundance of fish or the weather patterns or any just general changes, you know, that you've noticed over your life there?
Yeah, some of the changes I notice it happens after, like, I don't know, remember Hurricane Matthew in 2016?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so the changes I noticed after that hurricane was like that hurricane killed some of the reef.
Oh, really?
Some of the reef system. And a lot of the weather's been acting like weird. It's like more lightning storms. Sometimes you have like a lot of lightning storms. You know, like in May, in June, this year, you had like, I never seen lightning storms like that living in the Bahamas. For all my years, I never saw that much lightning storms, you know.
Wow.
So I think after that year, I think it offset the balance of some stuff.
Yeah, yeah. How about like the animals, the fish or the sharks or in general? Notice still really healthy in your opinion that in terms of the populations?
Yeah, the shark population, it's doing good. The only fish I'll say that's probably on the endangered list is the Nassau grouper.
Right.
Yeah, because people, like, they don't respect the law. Some people that don't respect the law, and they would try to catch this fish out of season just to sell it on the market, you know. So that's probably the only fish I think that's now is on the endangered list.
Yeah.
It's been on the endangered list for a little while now, but it's getting serious.
Right. Oh, man. And those things get big, right? Like kind of big dogs. They're kind of just real mellow looking
huge
at you. Yeah.
They get huge, man.
Yeah. And now, are they easy to find? So if you had a client who wanted to go dive and take some shot, you know, pictures with a Nassau grouper, do you know, are there like common like locations where you know they like to go, or is it kind of hard to find them?
You can't exactly pinpoint them. It's kind of hard to find them. But if you could find where they're schooling a certain time of the year, like they always go to that spot to school.
Yeah.
That's the place you're going to go to take photos.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Have you...
I can't tell you where they are schooling. Sometimes I just see like one here, one there, but not like in a huge school at all.
Yeah. Now, have you yourself ever seen any real big ones?
Yeah, but I'm not able to shoot a real big one because it'll probably might kill me, you know?
Yeah.
because they are really powerful.
Right, they're super powerful, and they're like a couple hundred pounds. They're just big, giant.
Yeah, a couple hundred pounds. I saw a guy was going on social media. A guy on a different island. He had a Goliath grouper.
Oh yeah,
It was huge. They didn't say how much pounds it was, but. It was huge.
Yeah, huge. Yeah, I love groupers. They're just cool, man. They're just big old huge things that look at you, and I just think they're like big puppy dogs, kind of.
Right.
Cool. So, Shavardo, man, you know, what's kind of next for you? You know, you're doing a lot of fun stuff. You're in the water, you know, and you're above the water, and, you know, you're on the water. You know, what's next? Any big plans, trips, or other activities for you?
But next for us, I think we're probably we're just gonna have our own boat probably in the future.
Yeah.
To like take private customers out and like spend more time with them and get to know them, because working for a company, you know, everything is rush.
Yeah.
So probably in the future we'll have our own boat and we could take pictures of people underwater, on top of the water, take them spearfishing, do the whole nine yards, you know. I think that's next. So just like when you're working for yourself, you can relax. You know, you don't have to wake up 8 o'clock or 7, 6 o'clock to be to work. You could just wake up and go to work when you feel like. So I think that's next. We're gonna invest in our own company and show everyone the underwater world that we are seeing here.
Nice, man. Oh, that's awesome, dude. So one thing too, I forgot to ask, actually, you mentioned Pia, who got you interested, who's your wife, got you focused on photography and with your drone. So tell the story, and she's from Chile, correct?
Yeah, she's from Chile.
Yeah, so how did you guys meet there?
We meet at the same job that I'm working now. We might meet at Stewart Cove.
Yeah.
So I was a boat captain and she was an underwater photographer. You know? So everything went from there.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
and we're gonna have her on the podcast as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing. Yeah, that's gonna be fun. Well, cool, Shavardo. This has been a lot of fun, man. And I'm gonna keep watching on Instagram and everything. And do you have like a website or anything you want to share where people can go to find more about you or be able to hire you and your drone?
Basically, we have a website. It's called maidenwater.com.
Okay.
Maidenwaterphotography.com. Most of Pia's work is there, and most of my work is on the website also.
Great.
So, yeah, that's maidenwaterphotography.com.
Right on. Cool. We'll put a link to that in the podcast show notes as well. And get people, if anybody, everybody listening, when you're out in the Bahamas and Nassau, go check out Shavardo and Pia and maidenwaterphotography.com and get you out and see some cool, some cool stuff.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Right on, Shavardo. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time, man. And keep having fun and keep doing all the cool stuff you're doing out there.
Yeah, man, no problem. It's nice speaking with you and everyone else.
Right on. Thank you so much.
All right, man.
Okay, cheers. Hey there. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate all the support. If you like what you heard, please, you know, hype us up on social media. Always appreciate, you know, spreading the word. Give us a nice little rating on the your podcast app. And just keep tuning in. If you're interested in being on the show and sharing some of your life stories, hit me up, josh@thisoceanlife.tv. You can PM me on Facebook or Instagram. Anyway, thanks again for being here and have a great day.